This is 1A. I'm Sarah McCammon in Washington. Here's what happened the other day. I'm at a bakery. They're selling bagels for almost nothing, 35 for $5. And I think, what a deal. But what am I going to do with 35 bagels? And so I wonder, why 35? Aren't baked goods sold by the dozen normally? And then I realize, okay, they're selling low because no one's buying bagels for their office right now. So now look what I've done. I've set myself up to stress eat 35 bagels. Okay, that didn't actually happen, except in a dream I had a few nights ago. And maybe there's no deep meaning to it. I mean, we're all carbo-loading these days. But that was my weird pandemic dream. And apparently, I'm not alone.
Hello, my name is Todd. I'm out in Apex, North Carolina. I'm calling in about how this crisis has impacted our sleep and dreams. And I've noticed an increase in dreams about zombies. Them chasing me and me finding weapons to fight them off. And suddenly the weapon's not working. One thing I notice different now is when I escape and I'm holed up somewhere and I look at the zombies through the bars, I see them leaning closer together and whispering to one another. And that's terrifying.
Okay, yikes. Todd, I will stick with the bagel dreams. Thank you very much. But honestly, I'm still kind of stuck on that one bagel short of a three dozen thing from my dream. And here to help us understand the science of dreams and sleep and why so many of us seem to be experiencing unusually vivid dreams during the pandemic, Dan Gartenberg, a sleep scientist and founder of Sonic Sleep Coach, an app that creates a customized plan to help you get a better night's sleep. He's also an assistant professor at Penn State University. Dan, welcome to 1A.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And dream analyst Lori Loewenberg, author of Dream On It, a book about dream interpretation. Lori, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy to be here.
And Lori, I want to start with what sounds like a really basic question, but what are dreams?
Dreams are actually a thinking process. They are a continuation of your thoughts from the day. You know, we all, as we're going about our day, we have that inner monologue where we're talking to ourselves about what's going on, what we're going to make for dinner, how insulted we are by what our mother-in-law said to us. These thoughts continue as we drift off into sleep. And then once we enter REM sleep, which is when dreaming takes place, those thoughts are still happening, except now instead of just being words, they've become symbols and emotions and metaphors because our brain is now working a bit differently.
And what do we know about how commonly, how common dreams are? How often do we dream at night, Lori?
We dream every single night. Whether you remember them or not, you're dreaming. It's a natural, necessary function of the brain. And we enter REM dream sleep about every 90 minutes throughout the night. And so on a good night, you can get 5 or more dreams. Throughout your lifetime, you'll have over 100,000 dreams.
Wow. And we remember so few of them relative to that.
I know.
And Dan, what does the research tell us about why we have dreams?
So really, we dream to process the fabric of our reality. You know, dreaming and sleep is sort of the information processor of our lives. And I think one of the reasons why some people are having very vivid dreams right now is that really we're processing a collective trauma. And, you know, everyone processes trauma a little bit differently. And it pops out in dreams, whether it's a bagel dream or a zombie apocalypse dream. And I think the zombie dream is very relevant to COVID, obviously, has a lot of similarities there. But, you know, really, we dream to process our reality. And there's a couple of reasons why we're having these vivid dreams right now. And just from a science perspective, part of it is also that you usually dream more later on in the sleeping process. So you get these various cycles every 90 minutes, but towards the end of sleep, you actually dream more. And partly what's also happening from a science perspective is that since we're able to sleep in a little bit more, it makes it so you're more likely to have and remember some of these dreams.
Lori, I have to ask you before we go any further what you make of my bagel dream and Todd's zombie dream.
I love the production of the zombie dream. That was awesome.
Thanks to our producer for that. Yes.
Okay. So your bagel dream. So tell me, if I didn't know what a bagel was, how would you describe it to me? Or, for example, if you were writing the definition for Webster's.
A delicious, tempting, carb-laden food that's versatile for breakfast, lunch, even dinner. Can be sweet, savory, and I don't know. I guess I associate it with baking, obviously.
Okay, and so there weren't as many bagels in the store in your dream?
In my dream, bagels were being sold really cheaply. They were being sold for $5 for 35. And in my dream, I had a sense that this was because everybody was trying to, you know, to keep these businesses going and sell things, get customers in the door. And also, of course, that offices wouldn't be ordering bagels. It's a typical office food, right? So that was what happened in the dream. And then I was also really, I could not, and still am bugged by why it was 35 and not 36. These things are sold by the dozen.
Okay, interesting. So I like how you described it as versatile. So that might be the key association there. Are you having to find that you are more versatile lately because of this pandemic and lockdown?
I mean, I think we all have to be, right? More flexible and think differently. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. And then you also have a very specific amount and number in your dream. And nothing in a dream is ever, ever random. So the specific amount of 35 is going to be connected to that same number or amount in your real life. Now, you may not be able to come up with it right now, but put on your thinking cap and ask yourself, how is 35 relevant to you right now? Is it your age? Have you paid that much for something?
It was my age a few years ago. I wish it still were. I'm still barely holding on to the 30s. I'll just tell you that.
Okay, so think about it and, you know, see if you can connect 30. It could also be March 5th. You know, some combination of that number is relevant to you right now, and that's why it showed up in the dream. And also the fact that you were upset about it is another clue. So what has upset you the most recently? And then try to connect the dots.
Yeah, that's really interesting. A lot to think about there, Lori. I do want to ask you about the zombie dream, too, that we heard from our listener, Todd, because we've heard a number of listeners, I believe, have written in or called in with similar imagery. And I found that one kind of disturbing.
Yeah, it was disturbing, a zombie apocalypse. And a zombie apocalypse is actually a pretty common dream theme, believe it or not. So when we have an apocalyptic dream, it means something within our own personal world has changed massively. But in this case, our entire world has changed massively. So that fits. Also, the nature of a zombie, they're emotionless. They are the undead. So is this how this dreamer is going through life right now? Maybe because he can't go to work. Maybe because he's shut in 24/7. Maybe because he's annoyed to death by his partner, his kids. He's just going through trying to numb himself.
So interesting. We are speaking with dream analyst Lori Loewenberg and sleep scientist Dan Gartenberg. And Dan, I want to ask you, you mentioned a moment ago that we're all experiencing and processing trauma through our dreams. And Dan, how does stress affect not just what we dream about, but to what extent we're recalling these dreams right now, briefly?
So, I mean, if you're chronically stressed, you know, in psychology, we think about it as being in a fight or flight response mode. And a lot of times when people have sleep problems like insomnia, there can be a few reasons why you have insomnia. There's circadian rhythm issues. A lot of times anxiety and being in a fight or flight response mode is one of the key reasons why you're having problems sleeping. And it can sort of form a vicious cycle where, you know, your dreams are so stressful that they're waking you up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start associating your bed with not being able to sleep. And you start developing this problem. And
yeah,
there's a lot of things that we can do to make sure that we're still sleeping well and dreaming happy thoughts.
And we will get to that. We will get to that in just a moment. I'm speaking with sleep scientist Dan Gartenberg and dream analyst Lori Loewenberg. More from them and from you in a moment. I'm Sarah McCammon. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as isolation, depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment when you need professional help. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. Visit betterhelp.com/1A to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
Do you talk about the news with your friends, your family, or perfect strangers? Get the facts you need to be up to speed on this busy news cycle on the 1A News Roundup. Find the podcast in your feed every Friday.
The biggest story in the world is a science story. And keeping up with all the latest coronavirus research, it's a lot. So on Shortwave, we translate the science you need to know into short daily episodes. Listen and subscribe to Shortwave from NPR.
This is 1A. I'm Sarah McCammon. We're discussing how the coronavirus pandemic is affecting our sleep and dreams with Dan Gartenberg. He's a sleep scientist and founder of the Sonic Sleep Coach app and an assistant professor at Penn State University, and dream analyst Lori Loewenberg. And we have so many great and honestly sometimes disturbing stories to get to from our listeners. But first, I just want to talk about some data here. You know, we've heard this anecdotally, but a new survey by YouGov found that nearly 30% of the American adult population has experienced an increase in dream recall in the past month. And twice as many people ages 18 to 34 are remembering dreams compared to people over age 55. We also heard from some listeners about who they're seeing in their dreams these days. Here's what they shared.
Hi there, this is Sharon, and I'm calling from Colorado Springs.
Hi, my name is Erica. I live in Boise, Idaho.
I live alone, and so I'm really adhering to social isolation. So guess what? My dreams are full of people, lots of people and places.
Not only have I not been falling asleep very easily, but I also have not been dreaming about people since I've been self-quarantining. I live by myself, and I noticed that I don't dream with people in it anymore.
Thanks to Sharon and Erica. And so we heard there about more dreams about people, fewer dreams about people. Lori, what do you make of Sharon and Erica's dreams?
Very interesting, the contrast between the two. So the one that isn't dreaming about people, this may be because since she's not dealing with people in real life lately, she has no issues to work through in regards to anyone. So she may be doing more introspection and focusing on the self. The one who is dreaming with tons of people, that's a reflection of her personality. I think she's probably a social butterfly, and she misses that. And our dreams serve many, many purposes, memory consolidation, problem solving. Also, one purpose is compensation. So when we are depriving ourselves of, say, smoking, drinking, eating sugary treats, or being with people, the dreams will compensate for what we're not getting.
Very interesting. We also heard from a listener via text. I'm quarantined with my 14-year-old son and 19-year-old daughter. We share our dreams every morning, and we've all started keeping a dream journal for the more vivid ones. We've even noticed our dog has been sleeping more deeply and dreaming more, too, since we've been quarantined together. Lori, is that something you advise people to do, keep a journal of their dreams?
Yes. Oh, that made me so happy to hear that. Keeping a dream journal, also keep it in tandem with a day journal. This is one of the best things you can ever do for yourself. Number one, because it's super entertaining. Number two, because you're keeping track of the other side of your mind, your dreaming mind, which is a very wise, powerful, and helpful part of who you are. So when you keep your dream journal in tandem with the day journal, you'll start noticing patterns between the two. You'll find it easier to connect the dots between what happened in your day to what happened in your dream that night. You'll start noticing negative behaviors cause more stressful dreams. Positive things that happen in your life cause more positive, happy dreams. It's just a great way to really plug into each other and plug into yourself.
I want to play a clip from another listener who called in to share her dream with us.
My name is Allison. I'm calling from Michigan. I had a dream the other night that I was trapped on a boat out in the Pacific Ocean being held prisoner with a friend from college I just recently connected with, and we had to escape and swim to the Philippines.
Allison, thanks for sharing that with us. And Lori, another kind of intense, scary dream there.
Yeah, and being stuck in some form or fashion is really common lately in our dreams. So, and she's on a boat. Now, typically water and boats will reflect our emotions because like water, our emotions are very fluid and ever-changing. So this dream may indicate that she's been very emotional during this time and is having a hard time being stuck. Now she manages to escape and goes to the Philippines, and that's a very interesting location. So I would want to ask her, what does the Philippines mean to you? Did you have a wonderful time there? Do you have someone you love from there? You know, what is your personal association with it?
It's interesting that her dream involves travel. We have a listener on Facebook who wrote in and said, "The other night I dreamt I was in a crowded multi-level train depot and I couldn't figure out how to buy a ticket out of there. I also recently dreamt Houston flooded again, but this time with lizards in the mix. For sure, my dreams are reflecting the times we're in." We'll try to get Lori back there in a second. And I certainly am not one to professionally interpret dreams, but it is interesting that there's a travel theme there and another danger theme. We've heard from so many of you who are expressing these kind of these feelings of anxiety. Speaking of maybe not just travel, but vacation, here's Mary from Colorado who had a dream that may illustrate some of that.
I, too, have been having very bizarre dreams. For example, the other night, I dreamed that I was in Disneyland, but I didn't go on a single ride. I spent the entire day trying to coordinate family members who had been separated, and I was running back and forth to try and get them to find each other. I was putting out fires in the buildings on Main Street. I was settling arguments with people who were standing in line with each other. And before I knew it, the day was over, and I hadn't been on a single ride, and the park was closing. How's that for a bizarre?
So many dreams about stressful situations, which doesn't seem like rocket science there, what that's about. But when you hear these themes of travel, what do you make of that?
Yeah, well, we certainly miss travel. The stress you get in a dream, the particular stress, you know, stress is a generic term. So there's very specific types of stress. So compare the specific type of stress in your dream to what's going on in your real life, like the Disney World dream. She never got to ride any rides, but, you know, the park closed by the time she was able to. So that would point to the particular stress of feeling like she's missing out on something.
Very interesting.
That she's going to miss out on something by the time she's finally able to get out and do it in real life. So what is it, dreamer, that you feel like you're missing out on right now?
And Dan, I want to ask you a little bit more about sleep schedule. It's in shambles right now for just about everybody. We've heard from so many listeners who say they're stressed out, can't sleep. One from our 1A text club says, "I'm having more dreams. They're somewhat more vivid, but not particularly weird compared to previous. My main concern is I can't stay asleep for more than a couple hours at a time." I relate to this one. How much does not just stress, but also just this, you know, having our routines off kilter, our day-to-day lives are so different. How much does that throw off your sleep?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the big factors that impacts our sleep quality. And in sleep science, it's known as your circadian rhythm. So, you know, every organism on the planet has a rhythm that's largely dictated by the sun for when your body should be alert and when it should be tired. You know, for humans, that rhythm is around a 24-hour period. And if someone is, say, a night owl like me, they'll usually have a peak alertness about 2 hours after I wake up, around 10 a.m. I'll have a decline around lunchtime, siesta time, and then I'll have another spike in alertness before dinner at around 7 o'clock, which is another good window to exercise for me. And then you gradually get tired again, and you're at your peak tiredness at around 3 a.m. And so that's an example of a specific circadian rhythm for myself, but everyone is actually a little bit different, and we actually have genes that dictate if we're more likely to be a morning person or a night owl. And so that's just a little background, but what's happening right now is we're indoor creatures now, and we're not getting any of these external cues from our environment for when we should be alert. And this results in flattening your circadian rhythm, which is not good. You don't want to have a flat rhythm. And being actually chronically stressed is another thing that can flatten your rhythm. So all these things sort of play in together. But we can do things to unflatten the rhythm. The biggest thing is to get natural sunlight during the day. And another big thing specifically for these times is to make sure you're not spending all day secluded in your bedroom. You want to keep your bedroom for sleep. So make sure you're disassociating from that environment during the day.
And we want to talk more in just a moment about some of the ways we can shift our schedules, shift our sleep rhythms, especially for those of us who are struggling right now with not getting enough sleep, not staying asleep, you know, asleep for long enough, and maybe having these weird and sometimes disturbing dreams. We will talk more about what to make of them and how to maybe get ourselves on a better course in just a moment. I've been talking with sleep scientist and founder of the Sonic Sleep Coach, Dan Gartenberg, and dream analyst, Lori Loewenberg. Coming up, so much for all the weirdness, what we can do to help us dream better and sleep better. You're listening to 1A.
One of the many ways the coronavirus pandemic has changed the world is that it has greatly limited the choices we get to make every day.
It gives you a greater recognition of what you really have in your control and what things you really don't have as much control over.
This week on Hidden Brain from NPR.
Today, we're discussing why so many people are experiencing such weird, vivid dreams during the pandemic and what we can do to get a better night's rest with Dan Gartenberg, a sleep scientist and founder of the Sonic Sleep Coach, and dream analyst Lori Loewenberg. Lori, you've been a dream analyst for a while now, right?
Yeah, since 96.
And how are the kinds of dreams we're hearing about right now during this pandemic, how do they compare with what you've seen and heard in the past?
Well, the bizarre nature is still the same, which is a wonderful thing. It makes it very entertaining what I do. But for sure, the stress level in our dreams are much higher than they typically are. In fact, I would say as far as stress, I'd say frustration level, really, specifically. The frustration that is being expressed in our dreams now is pretty astronomical.
Yeah, that fits with what Anne on Facebook told us. She said, this morning I woke up around 3 a.m. furious. I dreamt I was being shown all the features on a new car. Then someone jumped in and got behind the wheel to show me how to drive it. And I yelled, I need to drive it myself because I don't get a chance to drive that much anymore. I went back to sleep and again woke up furious. And one of my colleagues found a rat in their car after not driving it for a while. So, yeah, I think a lot of cars are sitting idle these days. And as you say, Lori, a lot of frustration and anger there.
Yeah, a lot of frustration and anger. The longer this goes on, the more frustrating and angry we get. It's, you know, we can only take so much.
So let's talk about what we can control. And Dan, part of that is sleep hygiene. What does research tell us about things we can do right now to help us get a better night's rest?
So one of the biggest things, and something that I find so beneficial, is to have some kind of bedtime ritual. So, you know, these opportunities between consciousness and unconsciousness, these moments are opportunities to sort of set the stage for the night. And I would highly suggest not doing the, you know, 3 hours Netflix binge thing that a lot of people might be doing during these times right before you go to bed, especially if it's like a very activating show. You know, think about preparing for bedtime happening about 20 to 30 minutes before your bedtime. And so we have these sort of, we think about sounds that sort of wind you down, like nature sounds, or having a gratitude meditation practice is something that I find very useful before bedtime, to kind of think happy thoughts. And when you have that ritual, it'll sort of relax you later on. Instead of having these stressful dreams, you can mitigate that to some degree.
Okay, Dan, you mentioned Netflix. People are in front of screens a lot longer now. We're pretty much so much of our life is restricted to virtual life, and people like to unwind, you know, with video games and streaming TV. A listener left us this voicemail to share their concern.
Hi, my name is John, based out of Denver. During all this quarantine stuff, I feel like there are a lot of young men, as myself, who are playing a lot of Call of Duty. And yes, this is definitely affecting my dreams. I mean, search and rescue scenarios, stuff like that. I'm not ex-military or anything of that sort, but I will say that you've got to be careful with what we watch.
We also heard from Robert, who emailed and asked, does reading on devices like smartphones, iPads, and Kindles have an effect on our dreams, and I would add, on our sleep? Dan, what's your response to these listeners who are spending a lot of time with different kinds of screens right now?
Yeah, and you know, different screens come to different have different effects, and the professor I work with, Anne-Marie Chang at Penn State University, has done some of the pioneering research on how these blue lights from screens can actually disrupt our sleep. So there's sort of two things going on. There's, you know, these lights that we're exposing ourselves to at night, basically impacting that circadian rhythm that I spoke to earlier. And then also, if you're engaging in some kind of media consumption that's activating, like Call of Duty, for some people, you know, that's why sometimes, like, doing The Office for the eighth time is the solution, because you sort of know what content you're going to get. You know, it's a very reliable thing.
Just a really familiar show that you maybe almost are tired of seeing so many times.
Yeah,
I love The Office, but I'm just something that's really familiar is what you're saying.
Yeah, something or like Friends, like, you know, the feeling you're going to get from Friends. You know, some of these media, it'll take you on this, you know, one of my ex-girlfriends used to love watching like CSI before bed, and it would give me horrible nightmares. You know, you know, just being a little conscientious of stuff like this. The best thing is to have a wind down practice, one perhaps that's void of a screen. You know, whatever that is for you, I don't have strong opinions on that. I think a lot of different things can help someone unwind, whether it's like a beverage, like a tea. I mean, there's a few of these available now, and you know, I have this whole routine around making sure getting red light at night instead of this blue light, because red light has been shown to mitigate this effect a little bit.
And how do you control that?
There's a bunch of smart light.
How do you control what color of light you're getting?
So I have this whole routine where I'm like, you know, hey Siri, I'm going to bed, and all my lights turn red. There's various smart lights. And, you know, our software integrates with some of these things as well. There's also, the big smart lights are Philips Hue and LifeX bulbs. There's also glasses that you can actually wear to block out some of this blue light at night if you're exposing yourself to a lot of blue light.
So you're saying nothing online after 9, I believe you said. And so you're already taking away my Netflix, Dan. You mentioned a wind down routine. What if that wind down routine involves, say, wine? How do you feel about alcohol at bedtime?
Don't paint me as the villain. I don't have very strong rules for people. I think the main thing here is to listen to your body. And I don't have like a strict rule, like no media after 9. I mean, just think about it like a half hour before your typical bedtime.
Gotcha.
And you know, some people come down differently on this stuff, but a glass of wine before bed, in my opinion, is not a horrible thing. You know, if you're drinking to intoxication, that's a different story. And there's a lot of research showing that alcohol negatively impacts your sleep. But, you know, one glass to take off the edge, there's other things you could do that are better, but I'm not going to be a zealot about something like that.
No doubt. And yes, I think especially that's an individual decision, right? For some people, no, alcohol is better, but you're saying listen to your body. And I want to pick up again on the question of sleep hygiene. We talked about alcohol. I also want to talk quickly about caffeine. Of course, right before bed, Dan, I'm going to assume that's a no-no. But what about throughout the day? How much should you be regulating caffeine and sugar if you're thinking ahead about how you're going to sleep at the end of the day?
Yeah, and this is the other thing that makes generic feedback on sleep so difficult. You know, similar to how the dream interpretations, you know, you really have to speak to the person to get the full idea of it. You know, similar with, this is another example with caffeine. People have different tolerances to caffeine, and actually, if you have a fast metabolism, you can clear out the caffeine up to like 400% faster than if you have a slower metabolism. So there's individual differences here in how caffeine impacts people. I would not recommend having caffeine, you know, after like 3 p.m. And some people are more sensitive to it than others. You know, I'll have, you know, 2 or 3 cups in the day, and it's not bad for me. It's kind of sets my rhythm. Like, I want that burst of energy during the day. You just don't want to be doing it, you know, much after 3 p.m. because that will negatively impact your sleep quality, even if you're not conscious of it. They've done some studies showing that your quality gets worse even if you fall asleep at a similar amount.
And since we're talking about all kinds of substances here, alcohol, sugar, caffeine, Ellen on Twitter sent us just 2 words, ice cream, which, Ellen, you're not the first to use that for emotional comfort, I'm quite sure. Another tweet, this one from Miranda, she says, what about the ability to control your dreams? How do people do that? Is it often possible for people to be able to do that? And does this still happen during REM sleep, or is it during a different phase of sleep? Lori, I don't know if you can answer that, but I mean, how do you advise your clients who maybe want to change the mood or tenor or subject matter of the dreams they're having?
Okay, so I think she's asking about lucid dreaming, mm-hmm. which is when you are within the dream and then you realize it's a dream and then you can control it, which is one of the coolest things in the world. And there's a pretty nifty trick that can allow you to do this.
Are you going to tell us?
Wake up. Yeah, are you ready?
Yes.
Set your alarm. I know we're talking how great it is not to have alarms right now, but if you want to try this, this will work. Maybe not the first time, but if you keep doing this in the morning, you'll get there. So set your alarm like 20 to 30 minutes earlier than you normally get up. But you want to have that snooze option available and give yourself a snooze of like 20 to 30 minutes. Go back to sleep. You're not going to go deep enough into delta. You're going to stay in the lighter stages within that 20 to 30 minutes. You're likely to get back into a dream, but still retain enough consciousness that you're aware it's a dream. Then you're lucid, and then you can do anything you want. You can fly. You can walk through walls. I tell people when you become lucid in a dream, ask questions because you'll get answers. You can ask a character in your dream, what do I need to know about my life right now?
Very
or what
cool.
do I need to do about my mother-in-law? You'll get an answer.
Well, that sounds like something fun to try. Maybe we could transport ourselves to a time when we're done with this pandemic. I don't know. I want to say thank you so much to our guests today, dream analyst Lori Loewenberg, the author of Dream On It, a book about interpreting dreams, and also Dan Gartenberg. He's a sleep scientist and the founder of Sonic Sleep Coach app. He is also an assistant professor at Penn State University. Thank you both so much for taking time for us today. Before we go, for weeks now, we've been making time at the end of every show for your acts of kindness. And today's story comes to us from Michelle in Oberlin, Ohio.
Our son is a resident at Henry Ford in Detroit. Our daughter works in Pennsylvania, and her coworker and the coworker's husband are using their 3D printer to make face mask covers. They're providing them free to any first responders. So she sent several to my son so that he could share them with his coworkers. I think that is an extraordinary act of kindness.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, Michelle. If you have an act of kindness to share, a bright spot in these dark times, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 855-236-1212. We listen to every single one of them, and we love hearing them. Again, the number 855-236-1212. This conversation was produced by Emmanuel Johnson and edited by Matthew Simonson. To learn more about them and the rest of the team, visit the1a.org. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Sarah McCammon. Thank you so much for listening. This is 1A.